Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest is Rich Aurelia, former Giants shortstop and now with Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. And Rich, the Giants are starting to play a lot better. And boy, what a pitching performance by Chris Heston against the Padres on Tuesday. I mean, he's already got a no-hitter to his credit. He had another one going, and he just has really great stuff. I mean, that sinker is moving a lot. So what do you see from him, and what do you think about his future?
Well, I think right now he's pretty much solidified himself as a number two guy on that staff. I mean, he's second on the team in wins and second in innings pitched and ERA and any other thing you want to name. But, his bread and butter is going to be that sinker, the two-seam fastball. And it reminds me a lot of back in the day for Giants fans, like Billy Swift. He would just rely on that sinker on both sides of the plate and, keep the ball down in the zone. So to see a guy of his limited experience in the big leagues, I mean, I know he's a little bit older, but his limited big league experience do the job that he's done for this team, not even, expecting, he didn't break camp with the team. It was only because of Matt Cain's injury that he's there. Has been a huge, huge boost to his Giants team that just can't seem to, keep most of their starting pitching healthy or on a consistent, performance level out there. So he's been huge for them.
Yeah, no, it's strange because they have all this pitching. I mean, they have depth, but you just wonder when they get down to the stretch of the season, how many guys can they count on besides Madison Bumgarner? You really don't know, if Kane is 100%. And what about Tim Lincecum? Will he ever, pitch again? There's a lot of speculation about that.
Yeah, I mean, you look going into spring training with the depth they had, and, everybody's saying, oh, they have too much starting pitching, but you look what happened since then. And listen, I wouldn't be surprised before all said and done if Ryan Vogelsong's back in rotation again at some point, because with the limited effectiveness of Tim Hudson at this point, which is really kind of sad. You want to see him go out on a good note this year. On the injuries to Kane and Peavy, and the inconsistency there with Lincecum, it's a matter of time till another move is made. And I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they try and get a middle of rotation starter before the trade deadline just to shore up something. I mean, you need somebody to solidify the middle of that rotation. PV has been throwing the ball pretty well, but who knows how long he can hold up. And Kane looks to be getting a little bit back in a rhythm. So it's just a time will tell, and I think that's why they brought some of those guys back from the DL when they did, to see what they can contribute leading up to this trade deadline. And, they have another couple starts till that comes, so we'll see how they perform.
We'll have more with former Giants shortstop Rich Aurelia, who works for Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area now, right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Well, certainly the lineup is producing pretty well, especially with Hunter Pence in the lineup, and when Aoki comes back, it'll be better. And, Hector Sanchez hits one of the three home runs in Tuesday's game, and it's a grand slam. And I didn't think he was showboating. What'd you think of that? I mean, it was strange that Dale Thayer would throw his gum at Hector Sanchez. I just thought that was really childish. What did you think?
Well, I don't agree with both sides of it. I mean, Hector did hit that ball. He crushed it, watched it a little bit, gave it a little bat flip. But listen, in my opinion, if you just get called back up from AAA and you're hitting 200, just take your home run,
right,
turn around the bases and give your team a 9-0 lead. And then what Thayer did, I mean, it was both childish on both ends, I think. And then, I knew going in that ninth inning, I was sitting with my sons watching a game, and I said, hey, they're going to try and hit this guy right here in the first pitch. And they missed him twice. They missed him twice, and then they popped off. And then I didn't agree with that. I mean, if you miss him twice, you don't have a right to pop off when he's running back to the dugout. So that whole scenario was a big mess last night. But, at least the Giants came away with the victory. And we'll see, they still got some games left. We'll see down the road if they try and, get Hector if they get a chance.
Thayer even missed him with the gum, by the way.
yeah.
I want to ask you about Brandon Crawford, first of all, playing your former position of shortstop. The guy's amazing. He's making all these plays. And what's the thing that you really like the most about him? For me, it's the quick release that he has. It's amazing how, not only on double plays, but just other plays where he gets the ball and he gets rid of it so quickly.
I mean, he's always been a superb defender. And I think now what's making the difference is he would make some errors in years past on routine balls that he'd rush on, or he would, you know, try and make more out of a play than was there. And what I mean by that is, you know, as a young shortstop, you always think you can make every play.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's some plays you just need to put in your pocket and, you know, save it for the next play. But what I've seen this year is a little maturity. He's definitely taken advantage of this new, defensive shift thing. I mean, Ron Wotus does an unbelievable job with that, positioning these guys in certain areas. And he just made great strides this year. And I think everybody's going to look at the offensive numbers that he's really improved on. But for me, defensively, he's more stable. He's the glue of that defense up the middle with Joe Panik. And then to just take it to his offensive side of the game, I mean, he's driving in runs. He's hitting for some power. I mean, I know the average has gone down a little bit over the past, month or so. But he seems to be getting hot again right now. So it's a good thing for the Giants offense if he can get going again.
Hit another bomb on Tuesday. Joe Panik, you mentioned him. The St. John's pipeline, by the way. You went to St. John's and Joe Panik. Yeah. All these guys coming out of St. John's, right? But it's amazing to me how young he is and, you know, inexperienced really, but looks unflappable over there. And he moved from shortstop to second base. I mean, are you surprised at how smooth he is? It seems like he's been playing for over a decade over there.
Well, I am. I'm surprised at how quickly he's made that transition to second base. And I was a guy that did it late in my career, and it's not an easy thing to do. The ball's coming at you off the bat with a different angle and you're different pivot at second base. But this is the thing I always say about Joe Panik. If you look at his just flat-out tools, nothing is going to really jump off the page. He's, probably an average, speed guy and an average defender and doesn't hit for a ton of power. But what you can't measure is the way a guy plays the game and the heart he has to play the game. There's the intangibles. And that's what I think he has. And when the Giants drafted him in the first round, I don't think he was projected to go in the top three rounds. And the Giants took him in the first round. Everybody thought they were crazy. Now they're looking at it as like, wow, what a great pick that was. I mean, even after last year and after the postseason, there was talk all winter about them trying to find somebody to play second base every day. And now this guy's just come up and, I don't want to say stole that job, but this is his job for the next 5 or 6 years, at least in San Francisco. So he's been a huge impact to the Giants, offense and defense this year.
Some of what you were describing there sounded like Matt Duffy, too. I mean, just a good ball player all the way around, and also learning a new position. He was a shortstop as well. He's learning third base. That's another position that you had to learn. What do you think about the way he's gone about his business?
Well, I think both of them, just in a matter of just being thrust into this role in the big leagues, is great. I think he's done a phenomenal job. Just moving over. I mean, this guy was a question mark even making the team out of spring training. Now he's a starting third baseman, weighing about .168, soaking wet, and hitting for power and driving in runs and making the plays and defense. And he's only going to get better defensively. I mean, that's, it's going to come with time. It's not an easy transition, but, it's kind of a nice little, nice little guy to have there on your team that you could fill in at different positions. And now he's just taking that role at third base. And, a lot of Giants fans right now are saying, Pablo who? right. After the performance he's put up so far. So good for him. And these guys, I mean, this is a core part of this team now. I mean, in the past, Bruce Bochy wouldn't be a guy that played a lot of younger players. And now with the depth that they have with these younger players, he's playing them every day and giving them a chance to go out there and earn their stripes, and they are.
More with former Giants player Rich Aurelia, who's with Comcast SportsNet Bay Area, right after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. You know, that third base position, some people thought, oh, maybe move Buster Posey over there. And, of course, he's played a lot more at first base and, you know, trying to rest him and everything. And, you know, I was watching one of the postgame shows, and you came out pretty strongly about how dangerous it was for Posey, because remember when he got hit in the mask, right in the chin, you know, you wondered if he was going to get a concussion. And I actually had his agent, Jeff Berry, on this podcast, and we talked about it a little bit. And, you know, he said it's something that you really don't think about in the moment right now, but you do have to think about the future with Posey. How do you see that going with him, because he plays such a dangerous position and he's your number one hitter on the team?
Well, it's going to be a sticky situation in a sense that, you know, you don't want to make the decision to move him after the fact, after an injury. I mean, because then it's too late. You know, I think that was the first time that Buster actually got a little nervous about how he felt and, you know, what you know, maybe in store for him in the future.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever really heard him say, yeah, man, that got me. And I felt something that, you know, I felt before, but not like that. So, you know, and you look at, I mean, Hector Sanchez, I mean, this guy could, I mean, he's a foul ball away from being on the DL again if he takes one. I mean, it's really right. A scary thing now. And you think back in the day, I mean, until Mike Matheny had his issues with the Giants and had to retire, I mean, it wasn't, you know, wasn't even thought about probably half the time. But now with the caliber of players back there and Buster being one of them, I mean, you got to think about, you know, sometime soon about, hey, what are we going to do with this guy? Where are we going to put him? And I think he'll have a say in it. I think the organization will have a say in it. And I think that, having Andrew Susak there to play is going to have a say in it, too.
Definitely. One thing about all these players that we just mentioned, Posey, Duffy, Panic, Crawford, they all seem to make the game look easy. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with you in 2007. I was covering the Barry Bonds home run chase for SiriusXM. And you looked at me and you said something about that if you ever became too critical of players that, you know, I needed to smack you up the head or something like that. Because, you know, it's a very hard game to play. So now you're in broadcasting. So tell us a little bit about that, about, you know, the difficulty of the game. And now, as you see it as a broadcaster, how do you see it?
Well, I mean, to me, there's a difference between, you know, being critical and being honest. I mean, I try and get to a point of, you know, if a player should make a play, and I view in my own mind, like if I was playing, I could say, hey, I should have made that play. You know, I'll go ahead and say that. I'll never go out and say, you know, oh my God, this guy's terrible. He can't play, or he, you know, why is he on the field, or they need to get rid of this guy. I mean, that's not for me to judge or me to say. My job is to go out, analyze what I see on a daily basis and give my opinion. My opinion is all unto me, and not everybody has to agree with it. And I'm sure a lot of people don't sometimes, but, you know, at least I feel like I have the experience and a background to give a valued opinion for people to understand. And, you know, and I think that the players, you know, respect me for that, because I don't throw anybody, but I understand how hard of a game it is to play. And, you know, it's not like guys are out there trying to hit 200 or, you know, 180. I mean, they're out there giving everything they got. So, you know, it's a fine line, but I try and do as professional a job as I can in it.
That's part one of our conversation with former Giants shortstop Rich Aurelia. Check us out on Friday for part two here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.